Today is Monday, June 1st, 2026. This is your geopolitics briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover the emerging evidence of acute regime fragility inside the Kremlin, the U.S. Dragon Cart program that is quietly rewriting the rules of Indo-Pacific deterrence, and the Iran nuclear stall that is now running on a collision course with a historic oil inventory crisis. An unnamed EU member state has produced an intelligence assessment published May 4, 2026 by the Russian investigative platform Important Stories that reads less like a diplomatic cable and more like a clinical profile of a leader in psychological crisis. Since March of this year, according to that document, Vladimir Putin has stopped residing in his standard Moscow region and Valdai properties. Russian state media is now airing pre-recorded video content specifically to simulate a more active public schedule. Every visitor to the presidential administration undergoes a two-stage FSO physical inspection. Personal staff, chefs, photographers, have had surveillance systems installed in their private residences. Communication networks in select Moscow zones are being periodically severed, and Putin has canceled all plans to visit military infrastructure for the rest of 2026. The strategic calculus here is straightforward, and it is damning. This is not the security posture of a leader managing a war from a position of strength. It is the behavioral signature of a ruler who no longer trusts his own institutional apparatus. Political scientist Vladimir Pastukov has assessed that the current repression regime is approaching the intensity of Stalin's Great Terror.
The arrest of former FSB
First Deputy Ruslan Salikov in early March, a close associate of Security Council Secretary Sergei Shoigu, is analytically significant, precisely because of who it targets by implication. Shoigu is not the most powerful man in the room, but he retains the patronage networks necessary to anchor an alternative power structure.
His institutional base
makes him the category of figure most dangerous to Putin's position. The FSO now controls all presidential media publications. That detail alone represents a structural analog to Ivan IV's Oprichnina, a parallel security apparatus whose mandate to protect the ruler creates its own self-expanding logic. Building on that, the military performance dimension compounds the political one. Russian casualties are now estimated to have exceeded 1 million total, killed, wounded, captured, and missing, with the casualty rate reportedly surpassing the recruitment rate. The force is in net diminishment. Russia's federal deficit has reached approximately $83 billion, openly debated in the State Duma as a destabilization risk. Economic growth forecasts have been cut by 69%, now projecting 0.4% growth for the year. Gold reserve liquidation, interpreted by analyst Drive Jason Smart as elite capital flight from ruble-denominated assets, is accelerating. The most dangerous second-order effect here is not a coup. It is miscalculation. Putin, by multiple accounts, receives no phone calls, uses no internet, reads no email. Subordinates deliver falsified or optimistic battlefield assessments out of personal survival instinct. The individual with legal authority to end this war lacks accurate information about its trajectory. Western planners cannot responsibly ignore what this means for nuclear command and control integrity. History offers two instructive parallels. Ivan IV's Oprichnina from 1565 to 1572 systematically eliminated experienced institutional actors in favor of loyalty-maximizing replacements and directly contributed to the dynastic time of troubles that followed his death. Stalin's Great Purges of 1936 to 1938 eliminated the Red Army Officer Corps ahead of Operation Barbarossa. Both cases demonstrate what political scientists call the paranoia competence trap. Security-maximizing personnel decisions that progressively hollow institutional capacity until the system can no longer adapt to external shocks. While Moscow moves inward, Washington has quietly restructured the military balance in the Pacific, and the mechanism is something most people would walk past in a cargo terminal without a second glance. In April 2026, the Air Force Lifecycle Management Center elevated Dragon Cart to formal program of record status. That designation sounds bureaucratic. Its strategic implications are anything but. Dragon Cart is the operationalized successor to the Rapid Dragon Pallet Launch Standoff Missile Program. It achieved its first live fire test on December 16, 2021, when an armed AGM-158B JASSM successfully struck a naval target after being airdropped from an MC-130J over the Gulf of Mexico. Program of record status means guaranteed long-term budget allocation and formal integration into force planning, with operational fielding targeted for 2027. Here is what makes this architecturally significant rather than merely quantitative. China's anti-access, area denial architecture layered surface-to-air missiles, DF-21D and DF-26 anti-ship ballistic missiles, long-range radar networks, was explicitly calibrated against a known U.S. bomber order of battle ceiling of roughly 120 dedicated strike aircraft. Dragon Cart renders that ceiling analytically obsolete. The shifting geography of power becomes visible when you look at what the U.S. cargo fleet actually represents under Dragon Cart configuration. 222 C-17A Globemaster IIIs. 151 C-130J Super Hercules. 126 C-130H Hercules. 57 Mega Coulombs 130Js. And 39 HC-130Js. That is over 595 aircraft, according to public DoD data cited in AFL-CMC reporting. A single C-17 configured with four Dragon Cart pallets can deliver 36 JASSM-class missiles with 1,100-pound warheads, comparable to or exceeding a dedicated B-1B Lancer sorties payload. From Beijing's perspective, the coercive value of A2AD as a deterrent against U.S. intervention in a Taiwan contingency rests entirely on the calculability of U.S. strike mass. Dragon Cart introduces irreducible uncertainty into that calculation. Every U.S. mobility aircraft operating in or transiting the Indo-Pacific now carries a non-trivial probability of being a standoff strike platform. Chinese air defense controllers cannot resolve that ambiguity through preemptive engagement without accepting severe escalatory costs. The program's digital architecture, described by AFL-CMC program architect Kent Muller as born digital within model-based systems engineering frameworks, means the government retains full data rights and can rapidly integrate new missile types, further compressing China's adaptation timeline. The alliance proliferation dimension may be even more consequential over the medium term. 63 countries operate C-130 variants. Dragon Cart requires no aircraft modification. That means any of those nations could theoretically field a standoff cruise missile capability simply by receiving Dragon Cart pallets and compatible munitions. For Japan, already a JASSM-ER customer, for Australia, for the Philippines, and for NATO's Eastern Flank members, this represents a structural force multiplier that does not require new platform procurement and does not generate the political friction of asking allies to acquire dedicated bomber aircraft. But there is a vulnerability window that cannot be papered over. Operation Epic Fury consumed more than 20% of long-range JASSMs, approximately 30% of Tomahawks, approximately 45% of precision strike missile stockpile, approximately 50% of THAAD interceptors, and nearly half of Patriot PAC-3 inventory across 4 weeks of active operations. Lockheed Martin's current JASSM family production rate of 400 to 500 units per year, scaling toward approximately 1,000 with a new facility, means replenishment extends across multiple years. That creates what analysts are calling an inventory valley of maximum U.S. strategic vulnerability, spanning roughly 2026 to 2028. That window overlaps precisely with Dragon Cart's pre-initial operational capability phase. The strategic logic of the program is sound. The timing creates real risk. The third pressure point is less visible in defense policy circles, but may be the most immediately consequential for global economic stability. Geopolitical analyst Peter Zeihan estimates the Persian Gulf has now been closed for approximately 3 months, suppressing 12 to 13 million barrels per day of production and export. Cumulative inventory shortfalls are approaching 1.25 billion barrels. Global commercial inventories have moved from surplus to severe deficit. Government strategic reserves are at approximately the halfway point of depletion. Zeihan projects that record low global oil inventories, levels not seen since the 1973 oil crisis, are approaching this month in June 2026. The strategic calculus here carries a critical asymmetry that Zeihan identifies with precision. In 1973, global oil demand was less than half of current levels. That means the per-unit economic impact of comparable inventory levels is structurally more severe today. The 1973 crisis was resolved partly through Henry Kissinger's shuttle diplomacy, which required exactly the kind of subject matter expert State Department apparatus that Zaihan documents as currently absent from the Iran track. The diplomatic picture he describes is stark. The official who led Iran technical negotiations departed in late 2024 with no replacement hired. Jared Kushner was briefly inserted into the Iran track and was categorically rejected by the Iranian side. Vice President Vance conducted a single Pakistan-based engagement, roughly 20 hours of talks that produced no substantive outcome and has not returned. Steve Witkoff, Trump's designated point man, has not been physically present in the region for approximately 2 months, managing the process by phone from Washington. The Trump administration has characterized talks as being in final stages for approximately 60 days. More importantly, Zaihan's structural analysis explains why resolution is mechanically improbable under current conditions, not merely politically difficult. Adjustment of status negotiations of this complexity historically require teams of subject matter experts across sanctions architecture, nuclear physics verification, and regional security guarantees. The outsourcing of intermediary function to Pakistani General Asim Munir introduces a principal-agent problem of unusual severity. Munir's institutional history as former ISI director includes overseeing Pakistani intelligence support for militant groups that attacked U.S. forces. His primary financial patrons are Gulf Arab states, most notably Qatar, whose strategic interests on Iranian nuclear capability do not perfectly align with Washington's stated objectives. An intermediary with that profile is structurally incentivized to manage the process in ways serving Pakistani and Gulf Arab interests rather than American ones. The energy shock is cascading across other theaters simultaneously. For China, which has partially lost access to discounted Russian energy due to Ukrainian infrastructure strikes on pipeline and terminal facilities, the Gulf closure compounds an already deteriorating energy cost environment that may be influencing Xi Jinping's recalibration away from material support for Moscow's war effort. For European economies simultaneously absorbing elevated energy prices and accelerating defense commitments, Germany has committed 200 billion euros to defense expansion and is expanding its army by 200,000 troops. The dual fiscal pressure constrains the political sustainability of prolonged Ukraine support. For Japan, the Gulf closure creates import cost pressures that may accelerate domestic political debates about alliance burden sharing precisely at the moment Dragon Cart pallet transfer agreements are being contemplated. Across all three of these theaters, the fracturing Kremlin, the restructured Pacific deterrent, and the stalled oil diplomacy, the compounding nature of simultaneous stress is the defining analytical feature of this moment. These are not independent variables. Russian fiscal deterioration amplifies elite disillusionment, which raises coup risk. Gulf closure economics complicate China's Taiwan calculus at precisely the moment Dragon Cart is restructuring the strike balance. And the diplomatic capacity gaps on Iran interact with energy inventory thresholds that could force policy reprioritization regardless of White House preferences. The specific regional signal to monitor in the next 48 hours is the status of Sergei Shoigu. The EU intelligence assessment names him as a figure of particular Kremlin concern. Any formal prosecution, arrest, or confirmed disappearance would signal that Putin has moved to neutralize his most institutionally embedded potential rival. That action would likely accelerate factional consolidation among those who calculate they may be targeted next. Precisely the dynamic that transforms regime fragility into regime rupture. Watch Shoigu. Thank you for listening. That is your geopolitics briefing for Macro Observer. Stay vigilant. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.